Session number 22135, Reel 4.
Nelson Taylor, Reel 4.
We were taken back one night to the village of Bree, and we got into a house, and somebody lit a fire, and our major took off his boots. He was Canadian. He took off his boots and got on this bed, which was the only one in the room. We were on the floor, and somebody came running up, said he was wanted downstairs, and he picked up his boots and he couldn't get them on. His feet had swollen, and he had to go down in a pair of clogs, which we found rather amusing. And as I say, the Germans were shelling all the time, and we had some big stuff. I wonder whether it came from one of the bigger railway guns or something. And anyway, when we'd been pulling into our position from marsh to get to the forest, we passed a unit of Americans who were going the opposite way, and they had tanks and trucks, and the road was covered in ice, and we had to dodge these Shermans as they swung round on the ice. And I won't forget that forest. You'd sleep, you'd stand up at night in the dugout, in a slit trench, and the snow around you would melt with the heat of your body. It'd run down in water into the bottom of the slit, and then it would change to ice again. And when you got down for your time off with the other chap on watch, your body melted the ice again, so you got water. So you were lying in water, and then but the food problem and since when I've heard that units had a lot of units had Christmas Day festival, with drinks and plenty of food and hot food in the hotels and different places, makes one a bit doodah that we had 10 days out in the freezing. Anyway, Jerry pulled back, and we were moved from our position, and went back to the outside of Brussels. And from Belgium we went up into Holland again after a few days rest up to Nijmegen, and he came along, Major came along and said, you got leave. And I got 9 days in England. And first of all, it meant travelling from Nijmegen in Holland down to Calais, open truck. We got onto a boat, take us across to Dover. We went down the coast a short way, then pulled out, and there was a sea mine. And meanwhile, we were down below. We'd been told that if we made out a message, a telegram, it would be sent immediately to ship docks and get home before you. So we were down there, lined up, and we heard this firing, 20 millimetre from the ship. I went up and there's a Navy chap shooting at this mine. It's over here. And we pulled over to the left, or to port. And there's another mine. So you got the front gun firing, or the back gun firing the first mine, the second, the front gun firing at this new one. So we stayed on deck, and we got called names from the bridge. There was a Navy officer running the ship. It was only small boat, steamer. And he says, you so-and-so brown jobs, get away from the rail, you'll have the damn thing over. And we pulled away from the second mine anyhow, got across the channel and got home. And while I was home, they attacked through the Reichswald Forest. And we lost men there. And I got back, I had to travel. I had to travel back up to the German, over the German border, and rejoin the company. And they thought, as I'd had 9 days rest, they were moving a mile. They thought, excellent, get the young man to carry a jerry can of water, full of water. Rain some 50 pounds to our new position. So I got there with the jerry can after being lost and in the dark, and the I was a hero then because it was their tea water. And we went down to another German village, and we were taken back to Brussels, outskirts of Brussels, to a place called Asch, outside Brussels, and we were there a few days. And sent back up to Germany, and Gough and Wies, Isham, Dresden, Exanten, the Rhine, meanwhile we'd lost more men. We got across the Rhine on a bridge the Irish had built, and stayed the night in the glider. There were many of them on the ground there in the Rhine crossing, and got shot at, and some of the airborne lads came along with about 12 prisoners, and I don't know whether I should say this, but they took the one prisoner they took. Made a big 6'6" bloke. Germany made fun of, because they'd buried some airborne had been buried, and the berries had been put on the crosses. And this one German, big tall chap, he said something, a rude remark about Fraulein's hat, meaning the red berries. And this one airborne chappy took the red berry off the cross and made this German carry it with his hands up. And they took them to a building, disappeared in there. And the airborne chappy came back with this German, made him put the bury back on the cross, and he marched him some 6 foot away, and he shot him. And we went to back into Holland. There was movement all the time. We went back into Holland, and we were heading for the town of Winterswijk. And we got out in the countryside, and recce cars came along of ours, 53rd recce cars, three of them. They went past us, and the Germans had got a speed gun at the side of the road where the forest came down either side of the road. And they destroyed the first recce car. They destroyed the second one. They hit a Sherman and knocked that out. We had another Sherman come back to us. The crew got out, some talking. They got back in again, and Germans destroyed it. And our carrier, meanwhile, had come up with carrying all our supplies and things, and food. Not for us at that moment, but food. And we crossed by it. We went across into the field, and Jerry put one in 88 in the back of the carry and blew it to pieces. And we advanced past. They pulled the gun out anyhow. The Germans pulled the gun out, and went off. And we advanced further and we passed another lot of carriers. Each one had been destroyed and more tanks destroyed, and there was nothing that could stand up to the 88. And the we got up to the river Ala, and the IRAs had made a bridge across that would take light vehicles. We went across and we got into the just on the outskirts of the village, and the a Yonkers 88 turned up, and flew along the road, dropped bombs. Meanwhile, we'd got under, some of us had got under a 3-tonne truck. And when he'd gone past, we found that it was full of 25-pounder shells. And Jerry missed the bridge anyhow with the guns. And we were there a couple of days, and we got orders to pull out, go forward again. And the we got across country 5 miles in the dark. Major had a luminous compass, and we got to a T junction, and we went past the T junction down the main road. We got orders to turn round and come back, and there's a line of men going down the other side of the road in the dark, 18, 20 feet away, less than that. And we carried on up the road, because we knew that our major was back there. And all of a sudden he shouts, "Is that A Company?" And it wasn't, it was German Marines. And the shooting started, the shouting started, and my friend and who was with me, Les Roker, hell of a good bloke, a wireless operator, we jumped off the road down the ditch, which we thought was some 3 feet perhaps, less than that. And it wasn't, it was some 6 or 7 foot, because the road was built up, because the ground used to flood in the winter, been flat. And we went down this side of this road into the field, legs up in the air, and tried to pick myself together and get hold of the Bren. And meanwhile, Les is there with his 18 set. And I managed to sort of get my feet together, and meanwhile a German ran across the road with a Smeisser and fired straight down. And he didn't waver it at all, he didn't move it, he just fired straight down. Luckily for us. And he hit one bullet, went through Les's leg near the ankle. One bullet. And I didn't get a scratch. And we got back up and we pulled into the woods. He told to get into the woods, and I got to the edge of the woods. And I had to leave Les. He said, "Leave me. He'd be all right. he got a bandage on. And we got to the road, and I saw the company were in the field, forming a circle like Custer's Last Stand. And the, of course, we were 5 miles behind his lines. And we got two companies of Marines, German. And we were 30-something. And I laid on the side of the road, and opened fire down the road with the brain, and the some of our lads ran out of the woods to join the company. So I had a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the Germans ran towards me. It was daylight now. Germans had run towards me with a stick grenade held up. And I got onto him with a brain. Another lot, two or three lads ran across the road in front of me. So I couldn't fire. They got across. I got the brain again. He threw the stick grenade. And meanwhile, I'd thrown myself right, thinking that it was my time, and it went off. I couldn't feel anything. And the brain was on its side with the blast. I picked the brain up. There's a German running away down the road. I got the sight onto him. Another lot of our pods came out of the woods to join the company. So I just ended up by moving across myself to the company. They were set in a circle. And I said to the captain, because meanwhile the major had died, and they got his body there. And the captain, I said to the captain, I haven't got any ammunition left, and thinking I could get some from some of the casualties. And he said, well, he said, they don't know that. He said, keep it pointed at them. I thought, well, I do. I know. And wait, what should happen? Well, the officer from comes across with a white flag, German officer, and one of our stretcher bearers. They captured him, and he was taken in. He came to the captain, the officer, with this...
Don't touch the microphone.
Sorry. He came to the captain and said, I want an hour's grace to cease fire in order to attend to my wounded. So the hour was given, and then they started shooting, but he still took the... stretcher bearer back with him, because he said they hadn't got any stretcher bearer, any first aid bags with bandages and things. They hadn't got any. They'd only got paper handkerchiefs, paper bandages, which were in rolls. I saw them, paper bandages, like tissue paper, and that was their bandage. They were and. We were there, we'd had nothing to eat since 4 o'clock the day before. We managed to get some tea made on this little stove. And they were shooting, sniper was shooting at us all the time. And this body of the major is just in front of me here. And We stayed there till around 12 o'clock midday. We got the orders to get back through the woods, across the main road, and dig in there on a height. So when we were going back across the road, what should we find in the woods the other side, in an open space in the woods, but 4 88mm guns with all the shells piled by them, live shells, and you could see over the hill behind where they'd run and thrown down their packs, the Germans. And anyway, we got back across the road, and come 4 o'clock, we heard tanks coming up the road, and it turned out to be Shermans of ours. And the officer came along and he said, where's so-and-so? And where can I see the fighting from? Where's the best position? So we said, well, the hill up here. We didn't tell him we'd been shot at. And they went forward, and so two typhoons came over as well. But they were rather late because all the enemy had moved. They, meanwhile, that night, after we'd met them on the road, they'd advanced down the road right to our company headquarters, which was 5 miles back. And they'd attacked our headquarters in the village. And the boys did well there, the company headquarters, even the cooks. They killed over 120 Germans. They ran down the road, so they told us. They ran down the road in line abreast, one line behind the other. Well, all the boys had to do was shoot the front line. There was the next line. Back here was the next line. And that's how we found them on the road. When we got back to headquarters, there was a line up here, a line behind, a line here, a line of dead Germans. And that was from battalion headquarters. I thought they did pretty well.
Why do you think the Germans did that?
Well, these Marines, you see, they were not SS or anything. They were Marines, they were ex-Navy. They were ex-Navy, they'd been pulled out of the Navy and put in army uniforms. And they didn't know the army
tactics?
Way of attacking. Opened up in so you don't get, so many don't get shot at the same time. You opened up 20, 30 feet between each man, and forward the same. There was a space between each other. If one bomb came over, it didn't get six, it got one. But these were Marines, ex-Navy men who'd been pushed into the Marines prior to, a few weeks before. And they hadn't had they weren't infantry trained. So they just, and I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a bit of bit of tonic given to them. Anyway, we got back to battalion headquarters, and we told there'd be another attack the next day on Verdun, the town of Verdun. And We attacked there, and Germans pulled out. And we were put into houses just for a night. And